the cure for desert places.
Honestly, if the word last night was revolutionary, stand on your feet and give Jesus a mighty hand. Hallelujah. Just be seated. I'm going to pick up from where I stopped yesterday. So let's go back to Romans chapter. What did we read? We began with Philippians chapter 4. Get the message. We began with Philippians chapter 4, and then we went down to Romans chapter 4. Isn't that correct? Was that Romans or Hebrews? We are diving from scripture to scripture. Where did we stop yesterday, with Hebrews or with Romans? Hebrews. Where the Bible said Abraham received in a figure. All right? Good. So, let's do Philippians chapter 4. That's where we began. Let's shovel again. If you're joining us, we're ending our significant change fast. I don't believe people go backwards. I believe they go forward. So if you miss the entire series that started on Monday, you really will need to get the message. It was mind-blowing. I kept asking my associates, did the people understand the thoughts I was expressing? Are you there, Holy Spirit? We ask you to take up Mary Claire and do wonders with them. Lord, we ask you that the power that is within will affect without. Lord, we ask you that the minds of your people will change as we speak your word. Their perspective will change as we speak your word. There shall be impartation as we speak the word. Lord, that the light of your countenance will shine on their hearts to give them practical steps to take to come out of lack, to come out of sickness and disease, to start a new business, to do something with their lives. In Jesus' precious name. Holy Spirit, incubate us tonight and create a change. In Jesus' precious name. Philippians chapter 4 from verse 6. We may need to take it from the New King James Version. It said, do not fret. We treated all this yesterday. We spoke about it. It said, do not fret. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And from there, we connected Mark chapter 11, 23 to 24, where we all of us agreed, when did God hear your prayer? When did you receive the answer from your prayer? Yeah? When you... Good. Good. Not after, when you prayed. All right? Give me verse 7, sir. Verse 7. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guide your hearts and minds. You remember our thought pattern concerning this, where we had to act a drama to show you how the peace of God surrounds your hearts. Verse 8. Good. Now, give me this verse 8 in King James Version. Go back to New King James. Okay. Good. Shall we read in concert? It said, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Let's read it again. One to go. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You can never have praise if your thought is not together. You can't see a reason why you should praise. Once your mind is focused on the fears of the future, don't you think, what if? As long as your mind is focused along those patterns, you can have praise. Some of us are stuck in the repetition of ugly experiences. Some of us are stuck in the rut of the past. And so, the past has made it difficult for you to see the future. Some of us may not have been stuck in the rut of the past, but some of us cannot get our thoughts to think about what God said He will do. One of the things you need to do tonight is to promise yourself to think praise. Whatever things are praiseworthy. Now let's begin from whatever things are true. What is true? The facts around us are the Word of God. What is true? Let's go back to the Father of Faith. If you notice, if you have been at the Wednesday services again and again, and you have listened to me consecutively for about 3 months, I keep talking about Abraham. And today I'm going to show you why I like talking about Abraham. I will show you at this meeting. Let's go back to Romans chapter 4, verse 17. We've been in Romans chapter 4, verse 17 for a long time. For a very long time. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Let's see what I said, that what is it that is really true? As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of God, in the presence of Him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Give it to me in King James. I want to show you something. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Oh God, you need to hear this. I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Now, when you read the word before him, you won't get the full meaning until you get to the original translation. The original translation said, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, like him whom he believed. In other words, he said, Abraham, when they said to Abraham, I have made you the father of many nations, the next thing Abraham did was he began to behave like God. That's why he said, before him. The right word is like him whom he believed. I have made you a father of many nations. How does God behave? How will God behave? The next one says, God like God. He said, Abraham believed like God who quickens the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. Now let's go back to the character of God. God saw Gideon. Gideon is a complete coward. God says, mighty man of valor. Like him, which calls those things that be not as though they were. God brings the dead back to life and then calls the things that do not exist as if they exist. Give it to me in a softer translation. I need you to see the scriptures so that it won't be me speaking. Please put your hands together for Pastor. Thank you. He said, this happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life, who creates new things out of nothing. Another translation said, he calls the non-existent things into existence. That's how God behaves. God looks at what does not exist. He calls it into existence. Now, God saw a virgin who's never been pregnant before and called the virgin a mother. God saw an old man and called the man father of many nations. I want you to look at how God behaves. He works against, when God works, look as if he's contradictory. Now, when the Bible says, finally, whatsoever things are true, what is the Bible talking about? When you look at all the facts around you, all the facts around you, everything around you that contradicts the word of God is a lie. The devil is the father of all lies. Not only is he the father of all lies, he is also the God of this world. So when you go to the hospital and they tell you that you have the kind of hypertension that will not go, you may have to stay on drugs all your life. Two things are involved. Either you behave like God or you behave like men. Men will call it what it is. God will call it what it is not. Again and again, that's how God behaves. All right? We're going to come back and see how Abraham used this principle. Abraham always liked to be like God. That's why somewhere in Acts of the Apostles, the Bible says that we should walk in the footsteps of Abraham. Go to Acts of the Apostles chapter 4. Did I read? Did we read Acts yesterday? Did we read Acts? Did we read yesterday? Are you sure? Is everybody following me? Everyone, look at me. Let me explain something to you. When you see something that is dead, what do you call it? Talk to me. Say the truth. When God sees something that is dead, what does he call it? When Abraham saw something that was dead, what did he call it? Go to Romans chapter 4. Well, are we in Romans? Okay, let's continue. This happened because Abraham believed in God who brings the dead back to life, who creates new things out of nothing. Go to verse 18. Verse 18. Give me a softer translation. Softer translation. Even though there was no reason for hope. Please, I want you to look around you. Show me where you can't find hope. Where there is no reason for hope. From your career, to your ministry, to your family life, to your profession, to whatever it is that you do. I want you to look for a reason where there is no hope. Abraham was not a special person. Vis-a-vis, he didn't have a special brain. He didn't have four eyes. He wasn't an alien. He didn't have acid running through his blood. He was an ordinary human being who decided to take God at his word. When there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept believing that he would become the father of many nations. Why was he believing? He wasn't believing according to the happenings in his body. He was believing according to what God said to him. I'm going to show you where the Bible says we're going to walk in the footsteps of Abraham. But I need you to get the principle. Abraham had no reason to believe. There was no physical reason. There was no economic reason. There was no biological reason. There was no reason. Now, if you were with Abraham, when Abraham was believing like this, you're going to call him names. You will call him all manner of things. You call him stupid. You call him foolish. You begin to criticize him. You know why? A lot of us use our head to try to decipher God. Your head is too small to decipher the God of heaven. It's too small. If you are going to walk with God, the only thing God wants from you is to believe Him. That's all. Can you believe me? If I say you're a billionaire and you look at yourself, there is nothing around you that looks like it. Can you believe me? That's the only thing God requires from us. Go to verse 19. Before, we're going to back up. And Abraham's faith did not weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. Please, if you have all the evidences that prove that you are a failure, can you still believe God? If you have all the evidences that prove that there's nothing like significant change around you, can you still believe God? Because the significant change is not according to the faith of pastor. The significant change is according to your faith. Be it done unto you according to your faith. Should I continue? So, which means, for me to walk with God, I have to corrupt my mind with His word. If I don't corrupt my mind with His word, my mind will keep telling me, you are stupid, you are foolish. How could you believe this trash? How could you ever believe that out of your spirit you can fling out a job? How could you believe that out of your spirit you can fling out an idea that can rule the world? How could you believe in such trash? How could you let anybody deceive you? Your mind will speak to you in that manner. Because your mind does not understand how you can use the word of God and create jobs. How you can use the word of God and build empires. How you can use the word of God and build children. Your mind cannot conceptualize it. The raw material that created everything is the word. And the raw material that will bring about significant change is still the word. So when the word of God is in your spirit, you have raw material to create the change. Lift your hand and say, I'm ready. Shout it very loud. Amen. Go to verse 20. We're doing a recap before we back up to verse 12. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And how did we know his faith grew stronger? What he did next. With every passing day, his faith grew stronger instead of weaker. With every passing moment, his faith grew stronger. So whenever you come to church and you see significant change, it's supposed to make your faith to grow stronger. Even when you get a phone call that looks as if it's not significant change, you remember what God said. It's supposed to make your faith grow stronger. How do we know your faith has grown stronger? He said he began to do what? Praise the Lord. Go to verse 12 of Romans chapter 4, verse 12. Romans chapter 4, verse 12. On this foundation, let's look at this. Because the foundation of your praise is faith. If you do not believe, you can't praise. If you do not believe, praise is a religious entertainment. I would prefer it in New King James, sir. The foundation of our belief is not what we say. He says, now everybody, I have done a recap. I'm starting. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. He's introducing Abraham to you. He said, this Abraham we're talking about is the father of the Jews who were circumcised. He's not just the father of the Jews who were circumcised. He said, this same Abraham is also the father of anybody who would like to walk in the steps of Abraham. The Jews, by circumcision, Abraham is their father. But beyond circumcision, any other person, including the Jews, who make up their mind that I want to walk in the kind of faith that Abraham walked. I want to use the kind of faith Abraham used. He wants to tell you what that faith is. Look up now. There are two kinds of faith. There is the Thomas faith and there is the Abraham's faith. The Thomas faith is show me. I see it. I hear it. I smell it. I touch it and then I believe it. That's Thomas' faith. Thomas' faith, when it has to do with significant change, no matter what any man of God preaches on this altar, you will shout amen. You will jump. You are excited. But when you leave the four walls of the church, that's when the harsh reality will come. Will you still say amen then? Because if cure for desert places finishes, 1 week after cure, the prophecies have not started manifesting. 2 weeks after cure, 3 weeks after cure. Because many of us are in hype. Many of us come to church and what we call faith is high hype. You are so hyped that when the hype is off, you come back and begin to look for the harsh realities. Listen, hype will not give you significant change. It is faith that will give you significant change. Two, many of us handle and practice Christianity with assumption. Assumption is, because it's written in the word, it must happen. Because they have prophesied it, it must happen. It doesn't happen like that. What kind of faith did Abraham use? If I want to walk in the steps of Abraham, how do I do it? Let's read on the next verse. Verse 13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now listen. God made a promise to Abraham. I need all your attention. Say, Abraham, your seed will inherit the earth. Listen again. Put it for them in softer translation. How many of you here are children of Abraham? Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. I am blessing that. You don't know the song? That's where it ends for most of us. It ends as a song. You know why it ends as a song? Many of us don't practice Christianity. You practice what your pastor said. You never got your own experience. You never went back to the word for you to get the practical steps that will convert Christianity into a practical experience. So we come to church, we sing spiritual songs, we sing gospel songs. It doesn't mean anything when we leave church. So that's why it looks as if the church is producing a lot of mediocrity. You know why? Because most of us in church are in hype. Sometimes the pastor hypes us. Sometimes we hype ourselves. There is no real substance. Faith is substance. So, clearly, God's promise to give the whole world to Abraham and his descendants. Are there descendants of Abraham here? Are there descendants of Abraham here? Read with me. 1, 2, go. Stop. Do you have the whole world? Do you have the whole world? Okay, you're seeing it for the first time. Some of you are seeing the scripture for the first time. It's been there all the while. It's in the Bible you carried home. It's in your phone. It's everywhere. God said, Abraham, I'm going to give you and your seeds the whole world. And God made it, he says, and his descendants was not based on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. I want to explain that. God says, Abraham, everybody listen. I'm going to explain something that's a little bit complicated. God says, Abraham, see, I know that the Jews are my first son. Israel is my first son. But Abraham, there's something I want to do. There's something I really want to do. And Abraham was listening. Say, Abraham, I'm giving the whole world to you. Not only to you, but to your descendants. But I want to make a disclaimer. This your descendants I'm talking about are not those who have obeyed all the laws. No. Man says, so who are these people? He said, okay. He said, there are descendants
who are going to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, when they receive Jesus, I will give them my nature. That nature is called righteousness. They are not going to work for it. They won't labor for it. I will give it to them. Abraham, the Jews, and these people who will receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, all of you will inherit the world. The Bible says Abraham believed it. Now, God will make you such outlandish promise that you can't accomplish it without him. The reason why I said we should talk about the faith of Abraham is this. Anything God said to Abraham, he will believe it. Give me the next verse. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. 15. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. 16. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. Now look at what Abraham did. And we all are certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all those who believe. Look at what Abraham did. Abraham, I've been looking through this world to just find one person who will believe anything I say. So he went through Adam. He went through Noah. What God was looking for was someone who would say, I believe you. The person he found who could say, I believe you, is Abraham. Anything he says, no matter how stupid, no matter how useless, Abraham will believe it. To walk in the steps of Abraham simply means, my brothers and my sisters, to come to that point with God where if you read his word, you believe it. Simple. The message is so simple. If you understand this, you have understood everything. Now notice, do you know why it's difficult for us to believe God's word? I also want to explain to you why. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I went to check Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, go to Genesis chapter 12. I went to check Abraham to see what is it that makes Abraham believe God at every nonsense. Abraham, I make you the father of many nations, and he's 100. He said, I believe you. And the Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family to the land that I will show you. The next one. And I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you'll be a blessing to others. Verse 3. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. God is still talking. Verse 4. So Abraham, simple scripture. He didn't say, well, God, may I ask you 3 questions? Actually, there is no map to be able to decipher and negotiate and metamorphose into this particular kind of mysterious things you're talking about. The buhaha cannot be accomplished by a man. Abraham didn't have time for all those theological, logical nonsense. Abraham, leave your country to your father. Lift your hand and said, this year I will obey God. Stand on your feet and say, let your ear hear. Shout it very loud. Shout it very loud. I want you to thank God that Abraham obeyed. Because if Abraham had not obeyed, we would have been in a mess. I want you to bless God that Abraham obeyed. Father, I thank you that this our forefather obeyed. Hi! Bradi brado shende leboro shanka. Everybody sit down. Onyama, if you give me this in King James or New King James, they may see some, because there's something else I want to show them. So Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now look at the next verse. And Abraham was 75 years old. Please, I don't want you to use religious classes to read this. How many of you have parents who are 75 years? Okay, in this church, you know how a 75-year-old person is. Okay, now see Mama. You see Mama. Mama is 75. Mama is more than... Mama, please stand. Mama, please stand. Everybody turn back. Now look at how Mama is. It is God that has made her this strong. Then she receives a revelation at 75 years. To live beneath Jesus. To live beneath. To wear. Listen to me. If you want to be a great man, get ready to do what nobody has ever done. Get ready to praise him like nobody has ever praised him. The Bible says Abraham departed from Haran. I want to show you today that Abraham was not the first person that was told to depart. His father was. Go to Genesis chapter 11 from verse 31 to 32. It wasn't Abraham that was called first. It was his father. When God has an assignment for you to do, and you treat it with kid's gloves, and begin to... Okay, from verse 31, sir. Verse 31. And Terah took his son, Abram, and his grandson, Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarah, his son, Abram's wife, and they went out, everybody read with me, and they went out with them from all of the Chaldeans to go to the land of what? Please get it right. Where did they live? Or where were they going to? But where did they stop? Is it clear? Where were they going to? Where did they stop? What did God say to us? So, church, by yourself, you will make sure you don't stop anywhere that is not significant change. Now, that's why the Bible does not have meaningless details. The Bible says Abraham departed from where? Haran. That was where his father stopped. You won't stop where your father stopped. Lift your hands and pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the... God, I hear you, sir. I hear you. I hear you. God, you reign. I hear you. Forever, you are the same. Agama turugi mama. Mama, you lifted me. You gave me a song. Agama churugi mama. Mama, okoro biadima. Mama, chionyem jemolu. Mama, narekele. Naro chicho. Sasagi buchimo. Anina churugi mama. Hallelujah, chimle. Jehovah chimimela. Ebi wara maria dimle. Agama churugi mama. Hallelujah, chimle. Jehovah chimimela. Ebi wara maria dimle. Agama churugi mama. Hold up. Are you sure? Are we together? Abraham's father. Listen, for everybody. Holy Spirit, help me. Everybody that is a member of this church, God has set a goalpost for you. Please make sure you score your goal. And I need to also show you tonight how to score your goal. There is a goalpost. Tara, live where you are. I'm sure the journey was tiring for him. I'm sure where he was going. Listen to me. The person that sends you on an errand can afford the journey. I don't believe he brought you this far to leave you. Do you know something? Do you know why I know I can never be stranded in life? The people that found themselves in the wilderness, it was only the people who complained and murmured that were stranded. every other person that have praise in their mouth continue the journey. If people who went through wilderness, am I in a wilderness? I'm not in any wilderness. If he can start with them and finish with them, the same God, he hasn't changed. He's the same God. He's still God. If he brings me out of Abba, he will take me into the promised land. I don't know who is here. I don't know whom I'm talking to. If God ever brought you out of somewhere, he is taking you somewhere. He's not going to abandon you in the middle of nowhere except you abandon yourself. Except you... I need to show you something in Abraham. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. Projector man, I need to show you something in Abraham. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. And the Lord God said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I want you to see. No, don't leave the promises. Give me verse 1. And the Lord said to him, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I noticed that sometimes when God wants to take you to greatness, he destroys your comfort. Get out. He destroys the atmosphere of the familiar. He said to Peter, you want to be called a water walker. You must get out of the ship. The ship is the place of the familiar. The ship is Peter's comfort zone. Listen to me. There are some of us here who are not trying out anything because of fear of failure. Let me ask you a question. Who sent you on that errand? If it is God, you may not see him with your eyes. His mighty hand is holding you. He said, fear not, I will be with you. He said, I will uphold you with my mighty hand. His hand is too mighty. His hand is mighty. He said, you are the apple of his eyes. Peter, you want to be called a water walker. Peter, for you to be called a water walker, you must take risk. Faith is risky. Peter, you want to be called a water walker. Are you sure? It's okay. Peter, bring out one leg from the ship. Peter said, if it is one leg, it's not a problem. So he brought out one, and he used his hand to hold the boat. He said, Peter, do you want to be called a water? Do you want to be called a water? He said, Peter, bring out the second hand. Peter said, okay, at least. He said, Timothy, John, more than hold my shirt. He put out the two legs. His two hands were holding it. He said, Peter, you never reach. I have given all. He said, no. Until there is no option, you are not ready for me. He said, Timothy, you hold me well. So Peter said, I hold you. No worry, I hold you. I got your back. He said, James, you hold Timothy, so? He said, Peter, tell Timothy to leave here. He said, leave. He said, Peter, remove the second hand. Peter removed. He said, no shaking. Worry, no, they carry last. In one hand, still there. Peter, if you want to be called a water walker, bring out the other hand. He said, John, make sure you hold my belt. John, I be more of a hole on ourselves. He said, Peter, if you want to be a great man, you must take risk. You can never be a great man except you take risk. Peter said, okay, I want to take this risk. Peter was on hype, not on faith. He put the first leg. He put the second leg. He said, Timothy, more than leave me. What will happen tomorrow may happen today. My Lord shall supply my needs according to the teachings in glory by Christ Jesus. The moment he put the third leg, he sang. Jesus allowed him to drink 12 buckets before he picked him like a small cock and put him back. When they say Abraham move, Abraham didn't think twice. If you want to have significant change, firm builders, you know these prophecies, they say our church, that we're going to rule, we're going to shift the continent of Africa. It's not on the heart of a tortoise. You cannot use grasshopper's heart to shift Africa with all the corruption in Africa. You can't use grasshopper's heart. You need the heart of a kidnapper. You need the heart of a hired assassin if you are going to move things. And listen, for things to move physically, they must first of all move spiritually. And that is where you engage the power of your praise. There's something I want to show you about Abraham. I want you to look at the last verse. He said, to the land that I will show you. I will. He never show up. If he be lying, but Abraham said, He that watches over Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. He never tells a lie. How many of you want God to show you something? That's where I'm coming to. That's where I'm coming to. When I say show you, please listen. Christianity is not just coming to church. Coming to church is to learn how to live it. You live Christianity outside the four walls of the church. I want to show you two, three, four practical things, and then I will lead you to praise. Lift your hands and pray in the Holy Ghost a little bit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Get yourself ready for what we are going to discuss. Anybody who came to this church and said, I want to see great and mighty things. My God, help me tonight. Keyboardies, can you help me? Help me. Something is happening to me. Something is happening to me. Onyema, go to Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. I want to show me mighty things to the land that I will show you. Everyone in this church, please look at me. I don't know whether you have the kind of destiny I have. I read the Bible. The Bible said that the disciples of Jesus were men that turned their generation upside down. Upside down. And I said to myself, I don't want to be a normal Christian. I am sick and tired of normal things. You can't be normal and stand out. Until you differentiate yourself, you will die among the crowd. My spiritual father preached one day and said, the bottom is too crowded. If you need to get to the top, you need to go differently. He said to the land that I will show, look at what he said, call to me and I will answer you. When I answer you, I will now show you great and mighty things which you do not know. There are so many things you don't know. There are things you want to know about your business. There are things you want to know about your career, about family life, about ministry. There are some things that are very heavy, very lofty. Some discussion, riddles happening in your life that you can't resolve. But you know they are riddles. The only one that has the answer to the question is Baba God. The problem of the Nigerian church of today is you are expecting God to show Pastor Romena. Pastor Romena will come and show you. That's the error. But what is supposed to be is Pastor Romena is supposed to teach you how to go and call God by yourself, and then God will reveal to you what he wants you to know. Now let me tell you something. Assuming there is someone here that has a destiny and the capacity. I like using this illustration to build the largest estate in the whole of Africa, bigger than Gwarimpa Estate. If God tells me to tell Pastor Romena that, sir, you are building, I'm going to use you to create employment. I'm going to use you to take people off the street. I'm going to use you to build the largest estate in the whole of Africa. God cannot give me the practical steps, step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, on how a Romena will achieve that feat. Are you sure we are together? Please, I'm talking to people today who are ready to do something with their destiny. He gives you that word. The Bible said the Lord sent his word, and great was the company of them that published it. When you receive that outline, you need to go to God and get the practical steps on how to convert it to a reality that someone can see. Now, the problem with us in church is that we do not know how to convert our prayers to solutions. How to convert reading the word to solutions. How to convert coming to church to solutions. Dancing and praising God and doing the work of God to solutions. We do not know how to convert pastors' messages to solutions. I'll show you two keys and we'll be out. Before you leave here today, stand on your feet. Great and mighty things. Our fasting has ended. Lift your mighty hands to God and say, God, before cure starts, Lord, I need you to show me great and mighty things concerning, I don't know the areas. 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 I don't know where life is overwhelming you. It's not going to change by a stroke of luck or by something, by happenstance. Lift your hands. God, the one that I ought to marry, show me, Father. Show me great and mighty things. Talk to God about the significant change. Father, this year has been declared a year of significant change. You can place your hand on your head, but I need you to get serious about this. Show me how to take the choir to the next level. Show me how to take my care center to the next level. Show me, place your hand on your eyes and begin to ask. He's able, more than able, to do more than. Oh, Rabashanda Rabahosiria. If you are baptized, pray in the Holy Ghost, please pray in the Holy Ghost. Show me, Baba. Show me. Bless you. You need to know any area of life where you are being overwhelmed. Lift your voice to your Father. My husband said God doesn't have grandchildren. My husband told me that God doesn't have grandchildren. Anywhere life is overwhelming you, questions that you don't have answers for, lift your voice to the God of heaven. Praise him into an answer if you can. Roshanda rabario hosketeria bala sinto roboshagada. Bridaria baru hosketeria bahosta ladaya. Brohoskinde reboshende rebario hoskinda rabakasi basha. Brohoskile brohoskite rebaria hasinto bosha. Brakaria baru hosketeria masunta rabario hoskada. You can praise him into abundance. Praise him into practical strategies. Praise him into knowing great and mighty things to do. He's able. Let it not just end as a song. Than able. He can handle anything that comes my way. He's able. Ah, God is faithful. He's able, he's more than able to make me what he wants me to be. Sit down. I don't know whether I'm blessing someone this morning or this night. I want to explain to you what I mean. We just sang a song now. He's able to make me more than. It's worrisome that he ends as a song. So many of us think that church is not practical. That when you're really looking for real life issues, answers to, you have money problems, you have financial challenges, that it's not in church you go to look for the answers. You have business challenges. You have challenges that have to do with addiction. If you have to make success out of your life, is it not in church that you go to look for answers? So we turn church into a kind of social club as if it doesn't have power. Yet, the raw power is in the church. And I want to show you three things and how to take it there. And we'll pick it up from there. All right? Good. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12 from verse 34. Let me quickly explain to us what I mean. He said, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of evil treasure of his heart brings out evil things. Please listen very attentively. What you have in your heart in abundance is what will come out in your life. Holy Spirit. Pastor Crefo Dollar. He said one day he was traveling. He had a head-on collision. But before this time, he said 10 years back, he keeps putting this scripture in his heart that has to do with long life. He kept putting it 10 years before that. So when he met a real danger. He didn't have the time to begin to look, find the principles to put them together to solve it at that point, because it was an emergency. He flew out of the car. But he said while he was in the air, that scripture he had put in his mind for the past 10 years kept running in his heart, kept running in his heart, kept running in his heart. The impact of the accident, his body did not experience it. He said it wasn't because he was a special person. He said it was because before this time, he has been depositing in his heart where he wanted his future to be. The same Crefodola said that there was a time he went to the hospital. They discovered that he had cancer. He said he took his Bible. He took Kenneth Hagin's book on healing. Took Kenneth Copeland's book on healing. And walked away. And his wife asked him, Creflo, what is happening? He said, I'm cooking something. He said, I'm cooking something. He said, when will it done? He said, you will soon see it. I'm cooking something. He said, before this time, he said he didn't wait for a set of emergencies. That back 10 years back, he was depositing scriptures. Listen, the word of God is a seed. Your heart is a soil. Each time you deposit the word of God in your heart, the word of God has power in itself to bring about what it is meant to bring about. That's why the Bible says his word will not return to him void. It will accomplish the thing it was sent for. He has been depositing it 10 years. It was that word, I'm not saying you shouldn't go for medicine, that drove away cancer from his body. Why am I saying this? A lot of times, we expect that God will move with a set of magic. He does not move my magic. He moves through his word. If you put the word of God in your heart in abundance, not scanty, you don't wait for, where I went to preach yesterday, someone came to ask me, said, Pastor, what if you want to marry and you discover the person has AS? Can faith help you change it? I said, my sister, if you wanted to marry AS, you'd have started preparing, building the images in your heart before that time. It is not the day you see it that you will start. That's why we always encourage you to read the word, put the word in your heart, and begin to speak it back to your life. That's how it works. There is no other way, except you want to use native doctor's means, or you want to use underhanded method, or you want to use manipulation, or you want to hit head. But if you want to use the Bible principle, it works only one way. You put it in your heart, you put it in your heart, you put it in your heart until it overflows. Then it will begin to, I speak over your life. May God give you the discipline to do the right thing. I say, may God give you the discipline to do the right thing. A businessman said that he was having financial difficulties. And when he was having financial difficulties, he would come and be quoting, I have this, I have that. God said to him, first of all, go and put that scriptures in your heart. Make sure you have it in your heart. Because when you have it in your heart, it will change the way you see money. It will change the way you see business. Now the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you are here, you don't want to use the word of God to solve the problems. You are trusting in yourself. You are trusting in your ability. You are trusting in what you can do. You are trusting in your intelligence. My friends, your intelligence is too small to give you world-class success. The Bible says we are heirs of the world. If you are going to walk in the footsteps of Abraham and walk in Abraham's capacity of blessing, your brain is too small for that level of relevance and competence. For it to happen in your life, I am sorry, there is no other way. Listen to me. If you run around looking for prophets to help you solve your life problems, they will give you crumbs. But to get the strategies is in the word. Listen, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Firm builders, stop trusting yourself. Stop trusting your capacity. Stop trusting your connection. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. How do you acknowledge God? Now, when you get the scripture concerning the situation, the area of gap or difficulty in your life, you take it back to God. Listen. You take the scripture. You are in a financial difficulty. That's what that man said he did. He said, you take it back to God. The Bible says he will direct your path. What does it mean? God will take those scriptures and shine light from the scriptures practical steps. God said, do this, do that, do that, do that. How did Joseph save a whole nation? Practical steps God gave him. Except you want to use your hand, I keep saying it. Except you want to use underhanded means, except you want to use native doctor, if you want to use Bible principles, there's no other way. Then he will direct your path. He will unbreak it for you. Do it like this. Do it like that. Do it like that. He will give you practical steps and how to go about it. If you are depending on prophet, or there is a place you will run to and say, my business is having problems. So my business is having problems. Listen to me. They say, bring your head. Let us pour anointing oil. If they pour anointing oil in your head, you do not understand the significance of the anointing oil. It will work. Faith works by knowledge. Listen to me. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith is derived from God's word. God cannot work without faith. Church, if it has to be God, it has to be faith. If it has to be faith, it has to be through the word. How did Daniel do it? How did Jesus do it? How did Peter do it? The just shall live by faith. Before Cure for Desert Places begins, I want to call Fem Foundation people to go back to the word. Go back to the word. Stop trusting yourself. Listen. This thing I'm telling you, I've tried it and I'm still trying it. I remember when we were going to go to the television station to begin our television ministry. Let me tell you what happened. On Tuesday, I was to preach in Ekiadolo. It's a students' union. It was a secular platform. We were about four of us that were invited. Commission of Police, Commission of Education, myself. I don't know where Ekiadolo is. All I know is that when I'm going to Lagos, I see something on the... Well... So all these people send their most senior representative to come and represent them. Now, I've never been to the school. Not once. When I came, the commissioner of police was the one addressing. The moment I put my leg, the school went gaga. Muslim, Christian, anybody you can imagine from anywhere. They screamed and screamed. It took time to tell them to keep quiet. When it was done to a commission of education, when the person got to students from the classroom, that is too good, no come up for them. Now I sat myself down. I said, where did these people meet me? I have never known them. I remember that 3 years back, we were going to put my preaching on television. My husband went to Abeokuta. Now, it was 3 hours for us to take it to television station. They kept calling us, your TV station, Victoria is alive. My husband just came, said, what are we doing? Said, the message mama preached on Sunday, want to go and put it? He said, no, it's the wrong message. I just looked at him, I said, this man, he always spoils better thing. I have no need that he doesn't want me to go to this television ministry. He was using style to stop me. I looked Victoria looked me. I said, we have only 3 hours. He said, no. So I heard it very clearly. I said, what did you hear? I said, you foretell us the thing when you hear since. He said, take the relationship program and put it on television. I looked at Victoria. Victoria looked at me. 3 hours to the time. 3 hours to the time. We started afresh. But we are grumbling in our hearts. If somebody wants to receive revelation, can the person receive revelation early to help you to do the thing? He may not have known, at least I can say it here now. Nobody will beat me. When you hold my microphone, nobody can beat you. No, he doesn't beat me. That tape, that CD, we had errors. So it entered the television a minute to 6 o'clock. And they put it on. The rest is history. From that day to today, I've lost my privacy. I will enter a place where you have old people. One day I stopped in front of UBT, I just came down. People gathered me. He said, hey, the thing when you talk, he said, now old woman, they're talking, he's talking to me, pigeon. He said, when they talk, I know they let all my children, I know they must come and listen to you. I enter the hospital, doctors say, hey, thank you so much. Thank you. I said, Abba, what is happening? God said to me, someone got a revelation. Until a revelation breaks in your heart. Listen, you will struggle. Talk to God. Until revelation from scriptures. It's not that you went somewhere. Somebody did like this. That's God did not say that the New Testament church should be led by prophets. If you go to someone and say to the person, help me look up if I should put living your dreams or secure the future in television, say, wait, make I help you look up. Listen, revelation is not supposed to come like that. It's supposed to flow by itself. I want to bring you to a place of personal relationship with your God. Stop this pseudo relationship where it is your pastor's relationship with God that you are enjoying. Can't your God talk to you? The reason why you come to church is for your pastor to train you to receive in all your ways, acknowledge him, then he will direct your path. I want to end with this. The God that Daniel served, now we deserve. You sure? Are you very sure? Was Daniel a dwarf in the destinies of life? Was he a non-entity? Talk to me. Was he a non-entity? Talk to me. The God that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego served, were they non-entities? Is it not the same God we are serving? Are they special people? I want you to know that it is from God's word that you draw close to God. Rise on your feet. Everybody that came to this church, God forbid that you go through 2013 without revelation in your heart. You will lift your hand or your voice. You're going to do what Abraham did. God, show me great and mighty things that will make me relevant in my community. God, I can't be a believer and be a mediocre. I can't be a believer and then I won't enjoy the blessings of Abraham. Before we worship, I'm not talking to everybody. I'm just talking to very few people. How can God say I will inherit the world and I don't know how to go about it? Everybody that came to church said to him, God, I want to come to a place where I know you for myself. God, I'm not your grandchild. God, I want to walk in the footsteps of Abraham. Reveal to me the steps to take, the practical steps to take. I don't want to be talking so that I want you to pray by yourself. If you're here, you don't know how to pray. Say, God, what is it I will do that will make me stand out in my generation? Lord, where do you want to use me? Where do you want to use me? Where do you want to use me? Is it in the media? God, show me the practical steps that will take me to that place. God, where do you want me to be useful to you? Show me how to get there. I don't want to hype you. I want you to pray out of revelation. I hear what you said, sir. Jesus, I'd like to show you an illustration the Lord just laid in my heart. Sir, come. Look at this illustration. Here is this young man. He's struggling in an area. He can't. His life is not adding up. If he wants to eat, he has to struggle. And then he said, God, please give me money. Give me money. I said, sir, giving you money is not a problem, but there's something I want you to do for me. You see all these people? They don't have a job. They're asking me to give them a job. Can you start a business for me? Start a business for me. God is the one talking. Start a business for me. When you start this business will employ these people. That's how I will send money to you. I want to use you to start the business so I can answer these people's prayers. And this one keeps thinking, okay, God is going to give me money. Or God is going to send someone to give him money. God said, no, I want you to start a business for me that will answer these people's prayers. When you do that, you will have money. That's the illustration God just gave me. Same builders. Give me that scripture on Genesis again. I don't want to hype you to pray. I want you to pray because you need to pray. When I say pray, significant change is the word. If you want to lift your hand, lift your hand. God said to Abraham, your heirs will inherit the earth. Will inherit the earth. Steve Jobs has inherited. Bill Gates have inherited. Oracle, they have inherited. Where is your own earth? God, show me one step, two step. If a man woke up one day and said, God says you should leave the bank. Step. Some of you now, you have arrived at somewhere. But maybe God wants you to take a second curve. But the place where you are now is so comfortable. It's so comfortable. It's so comfortable. You can't take that curve. Maybe you're selling clothes now. God says, okay, I want us to turn it to an industry, not just a boutique. Say, God, just like you used David to remove the shame of his nation, which is Goliath. God, I'm not just asking for money because you may not give me money. You may ask me to do something for you. When I do it, it will create the money. Maybe I'm asking you for a life partner. You may not just bring the person. You may ask me to save someone. Everybody tell God, in your end time agenda, if they are going to write this Bible again, if they will ever write the Bible again, God, my name will not be missing. My name will stand out like Daniel. My name will stand out like Joseph. My name will stand out like Jacob. Pray by yourself. Everybody, multimedia, are you a part of it? God, if they will ever rewrite this Bible again, I will stand out like Esther. God, if they will write this Bible again, I will stand out like Paul. What do you want me to do for you? That will bring me to a place of significant change. What steps should I take? Do I need to leave my country, my friends, and my father's house? Lord, I call you. If your life is not adding up, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Maybe you have a video club. God says, I want you to be a producer. Maybe you are an estate agent. God says, I want you to start building houses and sell. Maybe you are here. Say it all. How do we take this country? country forward. How do we tell you? God said, you know what? I want you to be the next counselor. He said, God, the corruption is too much. Before cure for desert places comes, put your life in order. Simplify your life. Maybe God put you in a school to be a teacher because He wants you to start a school later. Say to God, I'm ready. If you can use anything, you can use me. If it's only when God uses you that you find your relevance. Devil can use you too. You can use yourself too. It is only when God uses you that you can find relevance. Service. That's why I'm asking you to tell God, anoint me to remove the Goliath that is disgracing my generation. Today is anointing service. Before we place the oil on your head, go to God personally. Ask Him to anoint you to heal the economy of Africa. Ask Him to anoint you. Ask Him to use you as the David to take off the political Goliath. And if there is Goliath in your body, ask Him to anoint you with the anointing for health. Before we place oil on your head, I'd like you to sit with Jehovah. Jehovah, the same way David was anointed, anoint me tonight before my pastor places the oil on me. Lord, I give you my hand. Use me to heal the economy of Africa. Lord, I know I can't have sickness in my body if you're going to use me for that. Now begin to bless Him. Begin to bless Him for answered prayers. Begin to bless Him for answered prayers. If you genuinely prayed, if you genuinely prayed, if you genuinely prayed, genuinely praise Him. If you genuinely prayed, genuinely praise Him. If you genuinely asked for anything tonight, genuinely lift up your praise to God. Everybody that didn't pray, keep quiet. But everybody that prayed, before we sing corporate worship, lift up your worship by yourself to the God of Abraham. That's what Abraham would have done. When Abraham finishes praying, start giving glory to God. Give glory to God because you have been anointed. Give glory to God because you have been anointed. Give glory to God for His anointing. If you want to kneel down, kneel down. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Those of you beating the drums, just organize yourselves for me, please. Give glory to God. Give glory to God. Give glory to God. Give glory to God. Now, it's corporate worship. It's not the one you do in your heart. No, no. There is someone leading the prayer. If you genuinely pray tonight, genuinely lift up your voice. Don't save the worship for cure for desert places. If you genuinely ask for something, behave like Abraham tonight. Lift the name of the Lord high. If you genuinely ask God for something, genuinely bless the Lord. If you have been anointed to solve problems in your generation, if you have been anointed to lift up the standard of holiness and righteousness, if you genuinely prayed, genuinely praise.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please contact The Femme Exchange at number 5 Oregmini Crescent of Idean Road of Ihema Road, GRA, Benin City, or call 080-511-03787 or 081-8977-5470 or 081-22-870-966. Worship with us every Sunday at Femme Foundation at any of our services, 7:30 a.m. or 9:30 a.m. Thank you and God bless you.